He was in jail. He was in jail in Egypt for 10 years, and then he asked for the one of the ministers of Pharaoh to remember him after solving the dream of those two ministers, and one of them got killed, got hung up, and the other one, which is Sarah Mashkim, how do you say Mashkim, Sarah Mashkim. He,
Minister of Drinks.
minister of bottles, he went back to his to get his job back, serving Pharaoh, and handing his the wine into his hand back, and then he remember after 2 years, so he remember that. That there is a slave, which is a Hebrew slave in jail, that he was able to solve dreams. And why he remember that after 2 years? Because Pharaoh had a dream. And our parasha telling us about the dream of Pharaoh, that Vatipa'em ruho, ve'im miket shnatayim yamim ve'paro cholem chalom, cholem ve'ine omed al ha'yaor. He's dreaming, Pharaoh is dreaming that he is standing on the Nile. And the question is, first of all, my question is, how come when he is later on, when he will take Yosef HaTzadik from jail and bring him to his palace to solve the dream, how come he's not telling him exactly what he was dreaming? He was telling him that he was standing nearby the Nile, not standing on the Nile, like he dreamed, like he had a dream. Why is it? Why is changing it? Because Pharaoh knew that Yosef is a wise man, and he will realize immediately that a person that wants to be God had a dream to become God. He will think about it during the day, and he will come to dream about it nighttime. So when by standing on the Nile and walking on the water, he is basically, it's part of his thinking. Why he exactly what he was dreaming? He was dreaming to become God. So he's standing on the Nile. That's what he was dreaming. But he was ashamed to say the truth to Yosef, because Yosef, he's a wise man and he know how to solve dreams. So he will immediately catch the dream of Pharaoh, and he will tell him, "Okay, that's what you think, and since you it's your wishes, and you want to become God, then you came to dream about it, and you stand on the Nile." Now Pharaoh is dreaming. He's standing on the Nile, and from the Nile there is seven cows, beautiful, good looking, and they're very healthy, and they're standing on the Nile. They're rising from the Nile, and then seven other cows, very thin and bad-looking, standing by them on by the Nile, and they are swallowing those seven beautiful cows that rose from the Nile, and the question is, and he didn't know how to solve it. Now, Vatipa'em ruho, in the alphabet we have the letter Taf. And the Taf is the last letter of the alphabet. Vatipa'em ruho, it's once. Nebuchadnezzar, vatitpa'em ruho, two Taf in the word vatitpa'em. Why is it? And then the Mefarshim is saying, Rashi is saying, and the Zohar also, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is saying, that Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream, and he dreamt also the solution. So that's why there is two taf from the alphabet, Vatitpa'em Rucho. What's Vatitpa'em? Just like a ringing bell, his spirit was shaking, and basically he dreamed the dream and the solution, and he forgot it, and he was trying always to remember, and he was able to remember part of the solution and part of the dream, but and tried to put it together and couldn't make it. That's Nebuchadnezzar. But Pharaoh have a different vatipaim with one, the Zohar saying, because he didn't know the solution, he didn't dream about the solution, he dreamed only the dream with no solution. And then he is sleeping again, and again he have a second dream. And his second dream, he dreamed exactly the same principle, seven different shibolim. You see shibolim when you say wheat, rising from good looking, rising from the Nile, and then other seven different wheat, the bad looking, and they're swallowing the good looking wheat, and then he woke up, and here it's a, and then he realized that it's a dream. Now he's asking his Chartumim, what's the solution for the dream? So he gave them the dream. But Nebuchadnezzar, in comparison, didn't want to give any information to his consulting people. He told them, okay, Nebuchadnezzar told them, oh, I would like you to tell me what was the dream and what was the solution. And if not, then I'll kill you. So he started to kill all the wise people of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and till Daniel came, and then Hashem, with Ruach HaKodesh, gave him the dream and the solution, and he gave Nebuchadnezzar the dream and the solution, and then that's the way the Gzerah stopped. The Gzerah was to kill all the wise people that couldn't tell him what the solution and what the dream and the solution. But Pharaoh, he gave the dream to his Chartumim. Chartumim in Hebrew, it's a Chartumim. They used to take bones and to get them warm by putting them under their chest, and then after the bones become hot, then they start to get to ask the bones some questions and get answers from the bones, just like Lavan, Arami used to do, but he used to do it with the scale of the eldest son, but he used to burn it up with a candle or whatever. So that's a witchcraft that they used to do. So they couldn't tell him exactly the solution. So they gave him many solutions, but not for Pharaoh. That's what the Mefarshim is saying. They gave a solution, but not for Pharaoh. He couldn't accept the solution. They told him, seven daughters, you're gonna have seven daughters, and then you're going to bear seven daughters. Or many other different solutions about houses, and but he couldn't, seven houses that you're going to build and seven houses that you're going to destroy, but he could not accept the solution, and then the minister of Sara Mashkim remembered that there is a slave that know how to. Now Rashi is saying even when he made an action of a grace with Yosef HaTzadik by telling that he's able, capable of solving the dream, but yet he was doing it with insultment. Na'al is a youth, is a na'al, is a just a, not a wise man, he's not a oldest man, and he's a slave, doesn't deserve to become king or something, just a slave. And the Torah is saying, "Im zchartani v'ishkachtani." It's two different. The Torah is saying that 2 years he had to wait, Yosef HaTzadik. Why? Because he have a faith in that minister instead of Hashem. So that was a punishment from Hashem, because he didn't rely on Hashem entirely. That's what he was supposed to do. Okay, so then Yosef HaTzadik they took him from jail. He shaved and he brought from. And they changed his clothing to honor the king and Pharaoh. And then he came before Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh is telling him all the dreams. And he's telling him, "Mibeladei Elokim, Elokim yaneh shlompo." I'm not able. I'm not capable of myself to solve the dream. It's from Hashem. If Hashem will give me the solution, then I'm gonna be able to solve the. Solution. He was modest, no? Moderate or modest, how do you say it?
Humble.
He was
modestly humble.
Yeah, okay, so. And then he told him, "Those seven cows that you saw, healthy cows, that good looking, those are the 7 years that a lot of wealth will be in Egypt, and a lot of food, and those are the seven good years that will come, and Hashem is telling you, foretelling you what's going to happen in the future, in the coming future." The Zohar is saying that usually the dreams that people are getting, they're getting it according to their spiritual level, but not the king, because the king have a responsibility over the nation. So despite the fact that he himself have a less madrega, less level of spirituality, but he's being, as Hashem usually give those people, foretelling them what he's about to do through dreams. So that's what Yosef is telling Pharaoh. Hashem is foretelling you what's coming. And then right after the seven good years, wealthy years, with a lot of prosperity in Egypt, with a lot of food, then will come the seven bad years that starvation will take place. And therefore, I'm offering you what to do. I'm suggesting what to do. Take a wise man that going to be able to gather food in the good 7 years for the years of starvation. And then the response of Pharaoh was, okay. He was telling to his servants, "We didn't see here in Egypt a wise man like you, able to solve dreams and the spirit of Elohim with you. So you are the right man. And what we see according to the inner realm, according to the mysticism." That basically the same thing that happened with Yosef in Egypt, the same thing that happened with Mordechai Yehudi. With Mordechai Yehudi in Shushan HaBira. Pharaoh is giving him his ring, and he's putting a king clothing on him and taking him with the chariot all over Egypt and saying before him and calling before him Avrech, a person that have authority, that no one in Egypt will raise his feet and his hand without Joseph. It's the same thing happened with Mordechai Yehudi, that when Haman HaRasha was taking him, not with a chariot, but on a horse, and saying, Kach yaseh la'ish asher ha-melech hafetz b'ikaro, and he got the clothing of the king, and the crown, and the clothing of the king, and it was like an advertised before the people that he is the chosen person before the king. Why? Because Mordechai Yehudi was from a Benjamin tribe, which is a son of Rachel Imenu, a brother of Yosef HaTzadik, is like a Mashiach ben Yosef, the Messiah son of Joseph. That's why there is a comparison between Mordechai Yehudi and Yosef HaTzadik. The same thing happened with both. And then Yosef HaTzadik become a king and a ruler. And now Paro is saying to him, look, we are equal. I'm just gonna be with my chair a little more than you, but it's only a chair. But you're gonna control the country just like me. But I'm just gonna be a little more. People will honor me more because I'm gonna have a chair. With my chair, we're gonna be higher than your chair. That's it. But the point is that Chazal is telling us that in Egypt, there was a rule that a person become a king according to the numbers of languages that he is able to speak. And since Pharaoh used to speak 70 different languages, so he became a king. But Joseph knew 71 languages because Pharaoh didn't know to speak Hebrew. So he was supposed to be with a higher level and a higher chair over and the king and the ruler of Egypt. But Pharaoh kept that to himself. But he knew that Yosef HaTzadik is over him. And then Yosef HaTzadik is gathering food during those 7 good years. And they're keeping it to a point where they couldn't even count it no more. There is so much food that they couldn't count the food that they kept. And after those 7 years, or just to read it for you, what happened with Yosef HaTzadik, like I told you, the comparison with Mordechai Yehudi, then the Torah is saying, Vayomer Paro el Yosef, and the Pharaoh, Paro was saying to Yosef, look, I put you over all the country of Egypt. And he, Vayasar Paro et tabato me'al yado, he took his ring and he put it on Yosef's hand, and he dressed him with Bigdei Shesh, which is the kingdom clothing. Ve'asem Ravid azav al tzavaro, and he put Ravid, which is a chain with a lot of rings. They call it Ravid, a lot of gold ring, and he put him on a chariot, and he took him over Egypt, all over the place, and they were calling before him Avrech, which is a chosen ruler by the king. Then he told him, and then Pharaoh is telling to Yosef, Mi beladecha, without you, no one will raise his hand or his feet all over the land of Egypt. You're the ruler, the ultimate ruler. And then he called him Tzofnat Paneach, which is revealing secrets, being able to figure out secrets. And then he gave him Osnat bat Potiphera, and then Osnat was the daughter of Dinah, and from Shechem. If we remember the story of Shechem, Then Shechem, the son of Hamor, he took Dinah to his palace, and he had a child with her, and the child was Osnat. So she was a Jew because of her mother, but since it was a shame for Yaakov, you know, so he put a note on her neck, on a chain with a note, that she is a son of Jacob, and then he sent her, and she came to Egypt, and Hashem made it in order for Yosef to have a wife. So that's how, and she become, she's not a daughter of a Potipherah, but she was an adopted daughter of Potipherah. So therefore, when Yosef took her to a wife, she basically was the son, the daughter of Dinah. Okay, and Yosef, when he stood before Pharaoh, he was at the age of 30. 12 years in jail and 1 year in Sarat Tabachim. Which is Sarat Tabachim, that Potiphar can, Sarat Tabachim. And then after they gather so much during those seven years of wealth and prosperity, he had two sons, Menashe and Ephraim. And right after, then there was a starvation all over the Middle East, all over the world, basically. That's what the Torah is saying. And then Yaakov Avinu was telling to his children, he saw that there is a food in Egypt by the Spirit, by Hashem was revealing to him, by Aspaklaria Meira, that's what the Rashi is saying. And then he told his son, Lama titrau, why would you look to the Ishmaelite and the Edomite like if you have a food and you don't care about food when there is a starvation all over? Why to look like you have a lot and you don't care much about the future? Go and bring some food from Egypt. So you know, the people around you, like the Ishmaelite and the Edomite, will not suspect you that you have already too much, and you don't care about when the food that you have will end. I heard that there is food in Egypt, so go and bring some food from Egypt, and we're going to live and not die. That's what he was telling them. So then the 10 tribes, not Benjamin. Benjamin was staying with his father. And the Torah is saying to us that when they came to Egypt, they entered to Egypt to... It's not in the Torah, but the Mefarshim is saying to us that they enter from each one of them, from a different gate. Why? Because they were searching for Joseph, for their brother, and they made up their mind that they're willing to purchase him, no matter for how much money they want to take him. But they were searching for a slave. They didn't expect him to be in the palace or to become a king or vice president or whatever. They thought that he is a slave somewhere, so they start to search for him. And then they came before Yosef, and Yosef knew them. He recognized them because when he left them, they were with a beard, and he was not. He was 17. So he recognized them, but they couldn't recognize him. But the Torah, the Mefarshim saying, recognize, he recognized them to have mercy on them as brothers, but they couldn't recognize him as a brother. So they stood before him, and he started to remember the dreams that he had, and then he told them, he started to speak with them roughly. He told them that he's suspecting them as spies, and they say, and they start to protect themselves and to say, no, 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 we are brothers. We're brothers. We even have another brother, and some. We have another brother that we enter from different gates because we're searching for something. We're searching not for the secret of the country, how to conquest the country, like you think. No, we are searching for our brother. We have another brother that we lost a long time ago. And we suspect that he's a slave here in Egypt. And then Yosef, according to the Mefarshim, was asking them, okay, what if you're going to find him and they will not be willing to sell your brother for any amount of money that you're going to offer? What are you going to do? So they told Joseph, we're willing to fight, we're willing to kill, and we're willing to die. So that's what, then he told them, you see, that's what I suspected. You are a spies. And then he took them for 3 days. He put them on jail for 3 days. And then he told them, look, I'm going to release one of you to go to a Canaanite. And then to bring your other brother to here, that's going to be a proof that you're really brothers, and you're really, this is your story. It's not a cover story, but it's a real story. And then they were there for 3 days, and right after, Yosef HaTzadik is telling them, okay, look, I have a faith, and I'm worried from Hashem. And I have Yirat Shamayim, and therefore, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to take one of you, put him on jail here. I'm going to hold him here, and I release you to go with food to your families, to Canaanite, to your father, that you told me that you have a father. You know, when he spoke with them, and they told him, that we are not spies, we are brothers, we're family, we have a father, old father. So he asked, is your father alive? And they say, yes. And Hashalom lo, is in peace. Yes. And then what about your young son, your young brothers, young brother? And then they told him, yes. So he, those questions, you're going to see later on that they made Yaakov Avinu suspicious. He realized that probably Yosef is alive. If he's asking such a questions, it's a weird questions to ask. So Judah gonna tell him, when he will go back. Well, first of all, Yosef released them. And he took Shimon and he put him in jail. Now Shimon resist to go in jail. And he started to resist. And then Menashe, the son of Joseph, gave him a heat. And he was in shock because the tribes were very, very strong, and they could even turn over Egypt. They were very strong people. And he realized that the heat that he gave him, it's from the tribe. But he didn't understand. He was in shock. And Menashe was able to put Shimon in jail. And then why Joseph have done it? Because he suspected Levi and Shimon, when they gathered together, they killed Shechem. And he knew it. So he suspected that if he will release Shimon, then Shimon, that took him and put him into a bow. So in the beginning, when he was sold when Joseph was sold, so he put him in a pit. So who was the one that put him in a pit? It was Shimon that put him in a pit. And he knew that Shimon and Levi was the one that when they gather together, they can kill the entire city, the entire country. So he wanted to separate them. And then they went to 10 tribes, the 9 tribes left back to Egypt. And Shimon was in jail, was held in jail as a, you know. And then when they came to the house of Jacob in Canaanite, then they took their bag, they took the food, and they realized that all the money they were supposed to pay to Egypt to purchase the food were inside the bag, and they start to worry, and they told the Jacob all what happened with them, and all the and how this man, this ruler, spoke with them roughly, and he took Shimon and put him in jail, and then Jacob started to cry. He told him, what are you gonna do? Are you gonna die with Joseph? Joseph was killed by an animal. You want to take Benjamin? They told him that this man told them that if you're not going to bring your young brother Benjamin, don't come, because that's the proof that you're brothers. Why Joseph made such a thing? He wanted to check whether the brothers made a tshuva. If Yosef had a plan, he had a plan that if Binyamin will come, and then he will put the grail in his bag, and then he's gonna chase the brothers after leaving Egypt. He's gonna send Menashe, his son, after them, and he's gonna ask them, why did you stole my grail, my silver grail? You know that I'm doing witchcraft by that grail, silver grail, and. And you know that I'm gonna guess that you stole it. So he had a plan to see if the other brothers gonna leave Benjamin to become a slave in Egypt, and then he will take him and depart himself from the family and save Benjamin, his brother, from his mother Rachel. Or if they're going to fight for Benjamin and do a tshuva for selling him, if they're going to sell his brother Benjamin, so they probably have something against the children of Rachel, of Rachel Imenu. So they're going to harm Benjamin as well. So he had a plan from the beginning to bring the young, to tell them that it's a conditional, that you're going to bring your young brother to Egypt. And if you're going to do that, then I'll know that you're really family. But the plan was to bring the young son, young brother of him, from Rachel, the mother of Rachel, and to see whether he can reveal himself to his brothers because they repent and made a tshuva or not, by checking them. So that's what happened. But then Reuven, when the 9 tribes was in Canaanite, in the house of Jacob, and they told him, look, the ruler told us not to come back to Egypt no more, and Shimon is there in jail, and he will not release him unless we're going to bring Benjamin. So he told them, why did you tell him? Why did you tell him that you have a young brother? Why did you tell him? And then Judah jumped and said, he was telling him, look, father, he was asking us if we have a father. He was asking us if our father are alive. He was asking us if we have brother, a young brother. So we respond accordingly. So then that's the point where Jacob start to understand that probably Joseph is alive and the ruler probably he sound like he knows something. So when he sent them back to Egypt with Benjamin, he didn't send them with Reuven. Reuven was telling his father, look, father, I'm gonna take responsibility over Benjamin. If I'm not going to bring Benjamin before you back from Egypt, then kill my two sons. So the Mefarshim is saying that he's a stupid other son. Why? Because his father is more mourn over Joseph and over Shimon that is not here, and now and Benjamin that you're going to take, and he will not come, and then you want me to kill my two grandson, stupid oldest son Reuven. So he didn't want to give Benjamin to Reuven. He thought that he's unresponsible. But then Judah was saying, look, father, we don't have food no more. You want us to die? What do you want us to do? If you don't release Benjamin, then we're going to die. We're going to all die. I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to bring it before you. And if I'm not going to bring it before you, I'm taking responsibility that I'm going to lose this life and heaven life. The two world. So Yaakov knew that Judah is a ruler. He's a lion. He is the king of the tribes, and he knew that he can fight Egypt on his own. He knew that he's very strong, and if he's committed, then he will moser nefesh for Benjamin. So he sent it with the responsibility of Judah, because he didn't have any other option. So when they went back to Egypt, and they suspected that probably, you know, they're going to catch them because they found the money in their bag, the money that they were supposed to pay for the food that they took from Egypt. So they went to, they told them that they're going to eat with the ruler, with Joseph in his palace. So they went to the guard that was standing right before the palace, which was Menashe, and they told him, look, we don't know what happened here. We took the food, we pay for the food, and then a mistake happened here, and unfortunately we found the money in our bag. So here is the money, and we bought some other money to purchase some more food. And he told them, no, don't worry, we got the money. We got the money already. It's your God that gave you a treasure. I see that something happened here. Rega? זה התנתק. עובר עד עשור, זום מיטינג. Hold on. Connecting. Okay, so hopefully.
אם לא, אפשר להעלות את שלי בלי הפרעה.
כן?
אז. כרגע זה בסדר, כי אחרת כולם יצטרכו להעלות את שלי.
Yeah. I'll go on with the lecture. Unfortunately, we're having some problems here, technical problems. Okay, when they met the guard, which is Menashe, the son of Yosef HaTzadik, and he told them, "Your God gave you a treasure. He gave you I got the money. I already got the money." So, but tonight, but today, you're going to eat with the ruler, with Yosef. So they were waiting for him till noon, and then when he came, he set them. He was like looking at this grail, silver grail, and like pretending that is a witchcraft, you know, and telling them to sit in an order, like the Reuven, the old one, will sit here, and then the second Reuven, Shimon, Levi, after, of course, releasing Shimon, and he put them in order, and they were amazed, because they were asking themselves, how does he know? They didn't realize that he is Yosef HaTzadik. And then when he saw Binyamin, he asked to go and behind the veil to another room to cry, because it was, you know, very emotional. And then the Midrash is saying that he took Binyamin and he showed him a map. He told him, you know, I can tell you where is your brother. And he was showing him the map of Egypt, but it's a kind of a map that is kind of a miraculous map in a way. But and then he was showing him the same place that they were standing. And he told him, you know, your brother must be here, right here, and that he was pointing on the palace and the. Of Yosef HaTzadik, where they stood. He was giving him a clue. And then when they sat together and after eating with him, with the ruler, and he gave them some presents, and the present of Benjamin was five times more than the other brothers. And then he told Menashe, his servant, or his son, to put the silver grail, they purchase food again, because they have to go back to Canaanite. But what they did, he told Menashe to put the money back again in their bags, and to put the silver grail under the bag of Benjamin. And then when they left Egypt, they already start to head toward Canaanite, and then he sent Menashe, his son, to chase them. And then when he was able to reach them and he caught them in their way, he asked them, why, you know, my king asked me to ask you, why have you done that? Why did you take my holy grail, my silver grail that I'm doing witchcraft with? That didn't you know that I'm a witch, that I know, that I can guess, that you stole it? And then they told him, no, we didn't steal. We even brought money, the money that we found in our bags when we first left to Canaanite, and we thought that it's a mistake, and we brought some more money, so we're reliable people. We didn't take your silver grail of your master. Then he told them, okay. And then they told him, whomever you're gonna find the grail with, we're gonna be slave. All of us gonna be slave to you. So he started to search for the grail from Reuven. Now he knew that is by the young son, which is Benjamin. But he did it on a purpose. So they took all the bags from, you know, their donkeys, and they start to open it up and to show him that it's they're clean people. And then when he reached Benjamin and he found the grail there, then. They were so upset, they were so embarrassed, so they start to, the Midrash is saying that they start to scream on Benjamin to tell him, you are a thief just like your mother. Your mother stole from her father, Lavan, the idols, and you have it in your it's like a genetic behavior that you inherit from your mother, that you also a thief, that you stole the witchcraft, this ruler, you stole the girl that he's doing witchcraft with that. So they went back to Egypt, and when they went back to Egypt, they start to apologize before Yosef, and he told them how you done such a thing. I was very graceful for you. You ate with me, and I treat you well. And they didn't know how to apologize. Then they say, okay, we are all going to be slave to you. And then Yosef say, no, I'm a righteous man. I don't need you to be slave of mine, my servant of mine. I'm going to take just Benjamin, that stole the son that stole my silver grail. And you're going to go back to your father. That's the end of the parasha. But the point is that the plan was to see what's going to be the reaction from now on. Are they going to fight over Benjamin, or going to give up on him just like they gave up on him? And if so, then he will save his brother from them. Now, the Rashi is saying, and the Midrash is saying, that he asked Benjamin, how many, do you have sons, children? And he told him, yes, I have 10. And then he asked him for the name of his son. And then he start to tell him, Mupim Vechupim. All the names that he gave to his children was about the tragedy, to remember the tragedy of his eldest brother from Rachel, Imenu, just to remember that. So that's what Rashi is talking about, the names and giving and the explanation why he gave such a name to his ten children. So the point is that Yosef was supposed to have 12 tribes of his own. And but because he had temptation of Eshet Potiphar, the wife of Potiphar, and he didn't commit the crime, but anyways he was not seduced. But since the Mekubalim is saying that he had to hold himself so much that from his 10 fingers then came, the sperm came out of his 10 fingers. So therefore then he lost the 10 righteous children that he was supposed to have, that will be a nation of his own from him. Now that's the parasha. Parasha speaking about Yosef HaTzadik, and talking about also when Binyamin and Yosef, when they met one another and they cried over one another, so they cry. Binyamin cried because they were so spiritual and so righteous, and they had the Ruach HaKodesh, so they were not crying like us, emotionally, for not seeing one another. But they were crying because they knew something. So Benjamin was crying about the Mishkan that will be destroyed by later on in the field of the land that's supposed to Joseph to inherit in Eretz Yisrael, Yosef was crying over him. Was crying for the two temples that will be destroyed in the land of Benjamin. That's what Rashi is saying according to the Midrash, and that's what it is. Now the Zohar is saying that the plan of Hashem is to bring the nation to Egypt. Why is it? Because to fix the ancient sin of Tree of Knowledge and the ancient sin of Adam and Chava, that all the sparks, the holy sparks from Adam HaRishon went down to Egypt, to the filthy place on the face of the earth, which is Egypt, and to grab out the holy spark and to fix the ancient sin, which is the ancient sin of the Tree of Knowledge. They were supposed to go back to Egypt, and Jacob was supposed to go as a slave with a lot of suffer to Egypt. But since our Hashem loved Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, so he made a plan how he will go to Egypt like a king, because he was well respected. When Jacob will finally go to Egypt, his son is a king in Egypt, and he was considered as a owner of the kingdom of Egypt. And why was that? It was a plan of Hashem to solve sorrow from Jacob, because he loved our forefathers. I thank you for listening, and if you have any questions, I'm willing to. Okay, so Shabbat Shalom, and thank you for listening.